Romans chapter number 4. I'm aware of the time. We'll get as far as we can. Begin this message Wednesday night and just really read the scripture. And so I'm not going to read as much as I read Wednesday night. But turn with me, if you will, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. You've been seated a while. Let's stand together. Let you stretch your legs just a moment. Reverence God's word as we read it together. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Verse number 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. Begin the message Wednesday night. If you missed it, I'm not going to re-preach what we did for sake of time. But we're preaching on the subject, the conditions of His coming. Jesus is coming. You say, well, we've heard that our whole life. Well, you're just helping fulfill the prophecy and the promise that they would say, where is the promise of His coming? We've heard this. Listen, whether you believe it or not, whether you are ready or not, Jesus is coming. We are closer to the coming of the Lord than we've ever been. And I'm not going to give you a prediction of the day nor the hour, because we just read, no man knows the day nor the hour, but we can know it. He said, I have no need that I write to you of this time, the seasons. We can know the seasons. We can know the conditions. And so I want to look at that for a few minutes this morning, the conditions. How will we know when He's coming? What the song said, the signs, they're appearing everywhere. And boy, you can look around and you should be, if you know anything about the Word of God, you should be able to spot the signs. When you go on a trip from here to Gatlinburg or Pigeon Forge, the closer you get to Tennessee, you start seeing more and more signs saying so many miles, so many, Tennessee, Gatlinburg, Pigeon. You might see one or two every blue moon down this way, but the closer you get to there, the closer you get to that location, they just begin appearing everywhere. And the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the signs and the seasons and the conditions, they're everywhere if we are open our eyes and we're not asleep, as we just read. And so signs and of his coming. According to the Bible, we can know and should know as believers the conditions that this planet and this earth and this world will be in when Jesus comes. And verse 1 said, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." He is coming, and this world sadly has no idea. They've heard about it. Many think it's a fiction or a fairy tale. Many make fun of it and poke fun and make light of the fact, "Oh, y'all believe Jesus is going to come back one day and take all y'all out here." Listen, let them mock. Let them make fun. God will get the last laugh. God will come. Jesus will come. And the trump will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's coming. He's coming. And so we want to look at the conditions. According to the Word of God, it'll be a disobedient day. I'm not going to spend as much time on this point because really what I want to get to is the last part of the message, but there's no denying we're living in disobedient, dark, dangerous. The Bible said in the last days, perilous, dangerous days. Never in my life have I seen a more dangerous day, even here in America. I mean, there's more murders, more... Have you looked into? And a lot of times here in a small town like Paclet, we don't have to deal with it as much as is happening on a broad scale. But even close by here, Greenville, right up the road, I was there yesterday. Greenville's one of the major hubs for child trafficking. Yeah, right. A major hub, Atlanta. All over our country, there's children, and you would think it'd be on the news all the time, but listen, children are being taken, and people are being trafficked and sold into sex slavery. I mean, it is wicked and disobedient days that we're living in. And that's just here in America, but think about all the people, think about in Ukraine and in places like China, and just how wicked and dark and depraved humanity has become. It's disobedient days. Luke 17, 26 said, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat and they drank, they married wives, and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." It's exactly how it's going to be. Nobody is taking the coming of the Lord serious. This world, just as they did in Noah's day, they mocked, they ridiculed, they made fun of, and they went on living their life. They went on doing what they had always done. But listen, when the clouds begin to gather and the earth begin to open up and the waters begin to come forth and the rains come down, nobody was laughing then. Their laughter was turned to mourning and their laughter was turned to weeping and wailing. And when Jesus comes and takes us out of this world will not be laughing anymore. And so we better take it serious. Not only is it a disobedient day, and I'm hurrying through this, but it is a devilish day. Now you, hear me for a moment. I want all of you to hear me on this point. And I'm going to make it quick, but stay with me this morning. Do not fall asleep this morning and pay attention on purpose. But I want all you young people to listen to me, because what I'm about to deal with, I guarantee you most of you young people will know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you older ones won't have a clue. Some of you will. There's a difference in disobedience and depravity. There's even a greater difference in disobedience and depravity and devilish. But we are seeing, and when Jesus comes, what's the conditions going to be when Jesus? It's going to surpass disobedience. It's going to surpass depravity. It's going to be demonic and devilish days. And we are living to see that. How many of you saw the young boy, they played it on the news, who had a teacher who issued him a library book, and he read it, and it was so offensive to this little bitty boy who could just barely read, and he got up and read it, and they videoed it, and it was the most vulgar, I mean vulgar cuss, some of the worst cuss words you could ever think, and some of the most wicked, perverse things you'd ever think, and they were pushing and promoting this young boy and trying to get him to get more of it. That's past depravity. That is devilish. Murdering babies and calling it choice. That's past depravity. When they celebrate, when we got congressmen and congresswomen who serve in our highest offices in the land, and they go to the State of the Union and they wear clips on their chest and pins on their chest, that rather than it being an American flag or something of that nature, it says abortion. That is worse than depravity. That is worse than disobedience. That is celebrating the butchering of babies. That is demonic. Luke 17:28 says, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat. They drank. They bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Listen to these verses in Ezekiel 16:43. Because thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, but hast fretted me in all these things, behold, therefore I will recompense thy way upon thine head, saith the Lord God. And thou shalt not commit this lewdness above all thine abominations. Behold, everyone that uses proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is the daughter. Listen, thou art thy mother's daughter that loveth her husband, that loatheth her husband and her children, and thou art the sister of thy sisters which loathe their husbands and their children. Your mother was a Hittite and your father was an Amorite. And thine elder sister is Samaria, and she and her daughters that dwell at the left hand, and thy young sister that dwelleth at the right hand is Sodom and her daughters. Listen, yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations, but as if that were a very little thing, thou wast corrupted more than they in all thy ways. The Bible said, as it was in the days of Lot. And then this is talking about Sodom and how wicked Sodom was. And how corrupt. And said they were worse than them all. Their abominations stunk in the nostrils of God. It was worse than disobedience. It was absolutely demonic and devilish, the things that went on in Sodom. So much so that God had to rain fire and brimstone and destroy them all. It was so wicked that God said, Abraham said, let me find a few and spare. And he couldn't find even a few. You say, what's that got to do with us? Verse 48 of that chapter says, as I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom, thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, Listen, God said, as it was in the days of Lot. This was the iniquity of Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and the abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Neither hath Samaria committed half of thy sins, but thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sisters in all thy abominations which thou hast done. We have lived to see the day, and I have no axes to grind and no stones to throw. And if this touches you, I'm aware there's people in our church and in every church that this subject will touch, because we've lived long enough to see a day where this abominable sin has spread to almost every family. But what God said was wrong is still wrong. When we think about homosexuality and lesbianism, gays, transgender, all of this great push that's come on in our land, that's why we call... You don't know what the Bible name... Listen, I know LGBTQ, whatever else they want to... may sound cool and hip and what... God calls them sodomites. And we as Christian people ought to get out of the habit of going along with the lingo and the cool jargon that the world comes up with. There's nothing LGBT about it. There's nothing Q about it. There's nothing cute about it. It is the sin of sodomy, and God destroyed a city with fire and brimstone over this abominable sin. An abundance of idleness. When we think about these sins of homosexuality and sodomites, and what leads to that? The abundance of idleness. Pride. You've heard it said that idleness is the devil's workshop. It is. You know how they are idle? Because they set... You know how people today... You say, but that was way back then. Do you think we deal with idleness today? Do you think we are dealing with idle minds today? I got time to deal with this in depth this morning, but I just want to give you a hint. Most of our children, and I dare you, and you check yours too, pull your phone out. Every Sunday, my phone pops up and shows me my daily average time spent on my phone. Check your kids out and see how many, I would say minutes, but it ain't minutes. It's many, many, many hours a day. And it ain't just children. Idleness. Idleness. The more we kick our brain out of gear and let the devil entertain us, he will begin to start throwing thoughts our way and vain imaginations into our mind, whispering things into our ear. Look at this. Try that. Listen to that. Log on to this. Chat here. By the way, let me just say this without apology. Young people, you have no business being on your phones or devices or tablets late at night alone. My children, your children, none of our children. You got no business surfing the World Wide Web without any supervision. It'll ensnare you. There's been many, many, many way more spiritual than you and way stronger than you who has fallen to pornography, to illicit relationships, and no telling what else by starting out surfing the net and playing with chat rooms and making friends with however many you can get to like you who don't even know you. Instagram, Snapchat, and all the others. It helps our mind to become idle. Think about how much time Facebook. I had this conversation yesterday. Listen to me, and I know this ain't popular. Lord, help me, Jesus. Y'all thought I was going to preach on the coming of the Lord, and I am. I'm preaching on the conditions, and we are being conditioned. When's the last time? See if this rings a bell. When's the last time you said something to your spouse or to your child, and they didn't hear you? Didn't hear me. What do you mean? And you said it again, and they tuned you out. They didn't hear you because they were glued.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
My wife says stuff to me, and I'll be watching something on my phone. Don't hear until it gets to a fevered pitch. Then I hear. But you know what's going on? While glued, while these children are glued, while these children are not glued, somebody get some Gorilla Glue for that girl. No. But while we're glued to these things that really, honestly, don't matter in the big scheme of things, what is hours a day on Facebook adding to your life? I'll tell you what it's taken away from your life. It's taken away time from your family that you could be communicating. You're looking at things that you could be experiencing in real life. I'm telling you, say, oh, it ain't no problem for me. Then put it down. And start spending some quality time with your family, because that idle time is robbing us and we're being desensitized to what really matters. Our children don't play outside anymore. Our children don't know what it's like to go out in the woods and enjoy just going outside and seeing the trees and building forts and playing. They don't even know what that is anymore because they don't do it. They glued. And it's an idle mind. I got to hurry. Listen. It was a devilish day in Lot's day, and can't you see it's a devilish day we're living in? Sin on every hand, filth everywhere. You can't even watch a TV show anymore without it being two daddies or two mamas. Everywhere you look. You can't even watch the news anymore without them cussing on the news. How many of y'all, and this is what I said you young people was wanting to need to listen to, and you parents need to listen to especially, but you young people, every young person, look up here at me. How many of y'all have heard of a rapper named Lil Nas? You heard of Lil Nas? This is why I preach against music so strongly. Because when Lil Nas come out, he was singing some songs that wasn't that bad. I think he even sung a song about a country dirt road or something with Billy Ray Cyrus or something. But it didn't take long till he got his fame. And he sold his, I'm talking about devilish days. Listen to me. You don't know what Lil Nas is up to these days? Listen. Music is bad enough, but it ain't just the music. It's the demon-possessed singers who sing the music, who are trying to captivate our children. He come out with a music video where he's sitting under a tree. I'm talking about a little knot. He come out with a music video where he's sitting under a tree in the Garden of Eden. Are you listening? And the devil come up to him and began committing homosexual acts with him in the Garden of Eden. And little Nas came out of the closet proudly proclaiming that he was queer. And then on top of that, Nike signed a deal with him, the shoe company Nike, and they yoked up with him, and little Nas and Nike just came out with a shoe not long ago that has Luke chapter 10 verse 18 on the shoe. You know what Luke chapter 10 verse 18 says? And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. That's what's on the shoe. On the box of the Nike shoe, it says, I would rather reign in hell than to serve in heaven. You know how many pairs of those Nike shoes were made? 666 pair for $1,000 a pair. If that wasn't devilish enough, every shoe had a drop of human blood ingrained into it. You tell me that ain't devilish. And those are the kind of people that are being lifted up and saying, follow me. And the world follows them and lifts them up and promotes them and pushes them. And they got the world following. God forbid our children. God forbid you let your children listen to that filth. You say, but who I let them listen to ain't that bad. Beyonce, she's... If you had the time, I could tell you about Beyonce's demon she talks to regularly, openly. And the rest of them. I'm telling you, it's dangerous, devilish days that we're living in. My goodness. I've spoiled y'all getting y'all out of here so early. Y'all gonna have to be patient this morning. Number three, not only is it gonna be disobedient days and devilish days, but it's gonna be dark days. And this is really the heart of the message. Over and over in the text that we read, it give the contrast of, and God said over and over, it's going to be dark. And those that sleep in darkness and those that steal in darkness, those that sin in darkness, but you're not children of the darkness. You're children of the light. And God is saying to us who are saved, don't fall asleep. Though it will be dark, the conditions are going to be so dark, but you are not of the night. You stay awake. You be sober, be vigilant, be awake and be alert, but because it's going to be hard, because it's natural and normal for your eyes to get heavy and to get sleepy in the dark. This gives us some very distinct pictures of the dark night. People sleep at night. Verse 6 said, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Verse 7 goes to say, they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken in the night. Therefore let us not sleep as others, but let us be sober. And let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love for an helmet of and hope of salvation. Paul saying, we are in the dark time, but we are not of the dark. Yes, it's dark. Yes, it's not. The condition is getting darker by the day. But if there's ever been a time that we can afford to hide our light under a bushel, if there's ever been a day that the people of God should be bursting bright light, it should be because the darker the night, the brighter the light should be. And God's reminding us the conditions will get dark, but you can't afford to get dark with it. Jesus said in John 8:12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Matthew 5:14 says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So yes, it's dark, but there's no excuse for the child of God to get dark with it and to sleep. If there's ever been a time Christians should be awake, it's in this dark hour. What's going to be the conditions when he comes? People are going to be asleep because it's dark. God's saying people are going to be gone to sleep, even in the church. I ain't going to call no names. But I've almost called your name recently. There's been two or three of you that's been snoozing on me lately. When I was pastoring in Georgia, when that would happen, I would get right down beside the pew of the person sleeping and take a songbook and wow, smack that thing, and they'd think the rapture happened. I said, probably do you good to stay awake. Spiritually speaking, too. But is that not the condition of our church? We come in, expect to be entertained. Come in, do our little godly duty, and then go back out. Slumber, sleep. When people hear real preaching today, I just don't see that. I just don't see that. You know why you don't see it? It's because you're asleep. And when you're asleep in the night, you can't see anything. It's dark. What's the conditions for sleeping? Got to be comfortable. And we've become too comfortable in the night. How many of you men, Jenny, I want to go to the movies. She'll say, hey, let's go watch this movie. Let's take the girls and watch a movie. And I don't care if it's a cartoon movie or an action film movie or fill in the blank movie. When I get in that movie theater or I get in my chair at the house and she cuts the movie on, I get comfortable. And about 10 minutes in, I went to the land of Nod. Because when I get comfortable and it's dark and usually my belly full, it ain't nothing for me just to snooze. And it's the same in the church. It's dark. And we have demanded it to be so comfortable that it's so easy to sleep. And God never meant for the Christian life to be comfortable. We've just become too comfortable with the dark. We've gotten used to the dark. The Bible says men shall be lovers of darkness rather than lovers of light, and their deeds be evil. Not only comfortable, help you sleep. What's another condition of sleep? The climate has to be just right. How many of you ever said this? I can't sleep when I'm too hot. If I'm hot, I will toss and turn and finally just get up and say, I can be doing something better than laying here. Because I'm not going to sleep if I'm hot. And we had this conversation last night. Laura spent the night before last, with somebody. And Lola Beth come and got in my bed. That big, long-legged, tall girl got in my bed. And so Jenny moved to the middle of the bed beside me, knowing I can't sleep when I'm hot. If she touches me, Laurel sleeps in the bed, and I've taught Laurel, don't touch me when I'm sleeping. I'll nail you. Don't put your feet on me. I don't even want your finger touching me. Because wherever you touch me, it makes me hot, and I can't stand it. And Jenny said, but we married, and we're in love. I said, I'll love you while I'm awake. But when I'm asleep, don't touch me. It wouldn't hurt my feelings to go back to the days where we slept in different beds. When we get a hotel and they got two beds, I say, praise Jesus. I can sleep in comfort, and I will be cool. My point is simply this. My point is this. If it's too cold, you ain't going to sleep good. If it's too hot, you can't sleep good. But if it's just right, you know, like that lukewarm temperature, it's easy to sleep. When the climate's just right and we're so comfortable, it's so easy to sleep. Are you listening? The book of the Revelation said, I would that you'd be cold or hot, but you're lukewarm. And Jesus said, it makes me sick. It makes me sick. I'll spew you out of my mouth. You say, why do you come to church and scream and spit and holler and sweat all over me? Because I'm trying to keep you awake. You know what I found? When somebody's screaming at me, it's hard to sleep. When somebody is yelling and shining the light of the word, it's hard to sleep when somebody comes in and flips the light on. You know what I found? You know what I found? It's true. When my girls come in, I've already went to bed, and they'll flip the light on. Ticks me off. Can't stand it. Cut that light off. Can't you see I'm sleeping in here? Quiet down in there. Ticks me off. You know what I found? Spiritually the same way. A preacher comes in and shines light on something that's dark in your life. People's first instinct, they get mad. Can't believe he said that. Can you believe? It ain't the preacher's problem. It ain't the Word of God's problem. It ain't God's problem. It's a problem that you've got so comfortable and so conditioned in your sin and in your sleep that you get ticked off when God shines a light. I know I done preach more than all of us can handle this morning, but it's the truth. It's the truth. We like comfortable. We like cozy. I like the climate being right. But spiritually speaking, those things lull us to sleep, and we cannot afford the comfortableness that we've and the climate that we've allowed. We can't afford it. By the way, I want you to be comfortable. I want everybody. Let me take that back. I don't want everybody comfortable. I want everybody welcome. I don't care if a person comes through those doors drunk as a coot, got liquor on their breath. I don't care if they got tracts in their arms. I don't care what they're wearing. A sinner can come in this church anytime, and I want them, I don't care what their condition is, I want them to be welcome. I want them to have come here and say, those are the most welcoming people. They love me. You know why? Because that's exactly how Jesus treated people. However, they should not, and I don't want them to be able to come in here in their sin and feel comfortable. Welcome, yes. Comfortable, no. Because when the light of God's Word shines on them, it will not be comfortable. But if they come in here and they can leave still in their sin and leave comfortable, then I have failed my job. Too many churches in this day. Y'all ever heard of Charles Stanley? His son Andy? It's absolutely wicked He's put people in positions in his church, elevated them, put them in authority roles who are homosexual and lesbian, and saying how we are wrong for not accepting them. I'm going to tell you something. He's fell asleep and he's got too comfortable in the conditions of this dark night we're living in. It's never been right and it still ain't right. And I don't care if every preacher in America or this world folds on that issue. Let God be true and every man a lie. I close with this. There was a captain in the army leading his group of men up in the Arctic, sub-zero weather. They had been walking for miles and miles after fighting, trying to make it back to home camp, home base. They hadn't slept in days. And they were wore out, weary, and couldn't hardly make it. And the men finally spoke up and said, "Captain, can we please stop and just sleep for a minute? Our eyes won't stay open. We're so sleepy. We're so sleepy. And we just, Captain, could we please just stop just for 5 minutes and close our eyes?" And the captain felt sorry. The captain knew how much they'd put in and knew how tired and weary they were and knew how sleepy they were. And he said, yeah, y'all put your stuff down and close your eyes for 5 minutes. And they had a army medic with them. And the army medic stepped up and said, "Captain, you outrank me, but they better disregard that order, sir. You better tell them to get up and open their eyes and keep marching, no matter how sleepy they are, no matter how tired they are. They cannot stop, because if they stop and close their eyes, they'll never get up, because it's not tiredness that's causing this. It's hypothermia. And if they lay down and shut their eyes, they'll never wake." And so many Christians have laid down for what they thought would be just a little rest because they were tired. But the coldness of a cold heart in this dark night has lulled so many Christians and churches to sleep that once they laid down, they never got up again. And I plead with you. I know it's tiresome. I know in the dark hour we're facing, In the days of disobedience that's all around us, and the devilish opposition that it's easy to want to lay down and fall asleep and just rest a while. But we're too near home. We're too near home. Amen. And you can't afford. God chose you for this hour. God could have had Elijah, God could have had Moses, God could have had the Apostle Paul living in the last of the last day, and he chose you to be on the front line. Amen. To keep your eyes open when it's cold, when it's hot, when it's hard, when it's heavy, and march on and press on. Listen. I ain't going to preach this point. But I ain't gonna have time to come back and preach it. So people sin at night. Not only do they sleep at night. Yeah, I'm gonna have to come back, because the people steal at night too. You know why? Because they don't get caught. And then the last one was the best one. You know what happens at night? I ain't gonna preach it, but I'm gonna come back and preach these. Sun comes up after night. Ain't you glad? Listen, I found so many examples in the Bible where it was the fourth watch of the night, the darkest part of the night, and there comes Jesus walking on the water. There come Jesus walking on the storm. When it was so dark, it looked like their worlds and their lives was over. Here come the sun. And just as the sun will rise in the morning, Jesus will rise off the throne in heaven. And He's coming. He's coming. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, would You help us take Your word, Lord, to heart. God, if there's anybody lost here this morning that don't know You, the free pardon of sin, I ask in Jesus' name, God, You would deal with them. Oh, God, they don't want to be left behind. Lord, You could come before service tonight. You could come before we get home from this service, God. And I ask in Jesus' name that You would show them, Lord, their need for a Lord and a Savior. Their need for repentance, Lord. God, for the church, for the children of God, would You help us, Lord, those that are weary, those that are tired, those, Lord, that are sleepy, oh God, those who've gotten comfortable, Lord. I pray You'd help us, God, to realize You didn't call us to a life of ease, but Lord, You called us to be good soldiers, not entangling ourselves with the cares of this world. As we're rounding the last bend, Lord, I pray You'd give us soldiers of the cross, Lord, that would mount up, God. Push forward. Not lay down. Not quit. Surely, Lord, if our military men, God, can fight and give their all, Lord, for this country, surely we can for Christ's sake. I pray You'd help us, Lord, to sell out to You. God, to make a vow to You, Lord, we're not quitting. God, help us to see those that are sleeping. God, I pray You'd awake them. Oh, God, would You help us? Would You help us? It'll be too late, Lord, when You come. Like Paul prayed, I tremble at Your presence. I tremble at Your coming. Paul prayed that. I wonder where we stand. Would You come do business with the Lord?